these are so that you can understand why we are in the situation, the world is in the situation that is in. Now everybody's going to look and say, well, this is all about oil. It is about oil. Yes, it is about oil. But you know what the most interesting part is? See, most of the oil right now comes from Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you know that. Something else you may not know. They're running out of oil. Did you know that? For real. Saudi Arabia, they're way depleted, way down. Where is the next major source of oil? Who knows? Iraq. Iraq has more oil than anywhere else on the face of the planet. And I'm giving you a statistic. Obviously, I'm not going to bring a bunch of stuff out and prove it from who's done all the whatever. Iraq. Okay? And Iran. Not good. Not good. So let's look at Genesis 12. And what we're doing is we're going to look at this Abrahamic covenant for a minute. We are in the book of Genesis because we're trying to understand the 4,500 year problem that's going on in the world. What you had is, first you had the Garden of Eden. You had Adam and Eve. They were born into a perfect environment. Satan comes along in chapter 3. He gets Eve to question the Word of God. And she decides that she's going to take a bite of this apple. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands something. It's Adam sinning by taking a bite of the apple that threw creation down. It was not Eve. It was Adam. Adam is the reason that creation fell, not Eve. Because, Adam sinned willfully, whereas Eve was what? Deceived. So, I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that. So, there was in Genesis 3:15, there's a seed that is promised. Notice the seed is singular, not plural, okay? And the seed is referring to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. How are you? It's nice to see you again, you and your husband. It's really good to see you. Haven't seen you in a while. So, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so, there was a seed that is promised. Now, Satan, when he saw Adam and Eve in the garden, they were told to have dominion and populate the face of the earth. Okay? They had dominion over the whole earth. Satan saw this. He was the anointed cherub that covereth in the Garden of Eden. He was jealous. Okay? He looked at what was going on there. And he said, why didn't God give me the earth? Why didn't he give me dominion? See, this is about dominion. This is about Satan. Now, if you look in Isaiah 14, what did Satan say? I will. I will. I will. He will exalt his throne above God. He will set up his kingdom, blah, blah, blah. Satan wanted to be the ruler on the earth. It was Satan that caused the fall because he deceived Eve. And then Adam followed Eve and sinned willfully. So now you've got Satan who's trying to mess with God's plan. Satan has an evil plan, okay? And he wants to have the whole earth in submission to him, whereas in the beginning God gave it to Adam and Eve. So, in Genesis chapter 6, there were giants in the earth, and there were a term called sons of God in Genesis 6. I submit to you right now that the sons of God is talking about evil angels, okay? I'm trying to go through this fast so I can get to where I want to go. Genesis 6 is talking about sons of God. If you go back to the book of Job, and you look in Psalms, sons of God is always referring to angels. Okay? Now, if you look in Jude, it talks about the angels who left their first habitation. Okay? Well, Angels who left their first habitation. That's the evil angels that right now are chained in the abyss. That's where they're at. That's where God's got them right now. If you read Jude, you can see that. Now, these angels, why were they put in that abyss? Because they had relations with human women. Okay? And they created giants and they perpetrated because he wanted to destroy the bloodline is what Satan was trying to do. In other words, there's a promised seed. Messiah is going to come from the promised seed. So, the bloodline has to be contaminated so Messiah can't come. So, Satan has evil angels impregnate woman, and so now you've got the bloodline messed up. Except for 8 people. Remember when it says that Noah found grace in the sight of God and it said he was perfect? What does that mean that Noah was perfect? If all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we've all sinned, that means ever since Adam fell, that means Noah was a sinner too. Here's what it's talking about. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives, their blood was not contaminated with the evil satanic virus that was now going to destroy the bloodline. So why was there a worldwide flood? The worldwide flood is because God was wiping them out because of what the evil angels did, and they were eating, and there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking in the days of Noah. If you look at Matthew 24, there's nothing, but that's what they were doing, as it was in the days of Noah. Okay? The whole point is that God, we all like, why did God wipe out everybody? There's a reason. And if you study out the text, it's because of Genesis 6. So, Noah and his family come back in Genesis 9, you know, after the flood's over, and now you have human government being established in Genesis 9. You now have capital punishment being instituted. God promises with the rainbow he will never flood the earth again, and we're moving onward. Now let's go back to Abraham. Let's look in chapter 12 and let's look at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, notice his name is Abram, it's not Abraham yet, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land, key word, land, that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Are we blessed in Abraham?
Yes.
Good, good. How are we blessed in Abraham? Yes, but we get the spiritual blessings. We are not the physical seed of Abraham. Everybody who places their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are a spiritual heir of Abraham, right? Okay. But we are not Jews. And anybody who's in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no division of Jew and Gentile. We are all one. We are a new creation. So everybody knows. So when you're a Christian, you are not a Jew. Some people say, well, I'm a Jewish Christian. Well, that's a person who's hanging on to their heritage. And, I mean, that's okay if they want to say they're a Jew, but as long as you're a Christian. If you want to put an adjective on there and say you're a Jewish Christian, that's fine. So we're seeing that the Abrahamic covenant is being promised by God to Abraham. He's going to make of him a great nation. Okay? Now let's think about this term nation. This conflict that is going on between the Jews and Islam. Notice I'm wording it Islam, by the way. I didn't say Muslims. I said Islam. Islam is the cause of the problem because they are the radical fundamentalists that are using the Quran and Sharia law, and they want to spread it throughout the earth. We'll talk about that in a minute. Excuse me. So, I lost my train of thought here. So we're in 12:1. Okay. When you teach, he wants to make them of a great nation. What kinds of, how do you, what makes up a nation? Okay. First, let's think about this. What do you have to be a nation? Think of a couple of components. Government. Okay, so you'd have to have a ruler. That's where I want to go with that term, a ruler. Okay. Second, law. Well, that would go with government, I think. But you have to have land. Right? Well, everybody agree. You've got to have land. Although, how can you be a nation without having land somewhere? Okay? So, you have to have land. Alright? So, we're talking about land. And you have to have a ruler. And you have to have people. Those are the three things that are going to comprise a nation. Would everybody agree with what I just said? You've got to have a space to live on, which would be the land. You've got to have people that are in the land. And then you'd have to have somebody that rules over the people. So, he says he's going to make of him a great nation. And as you go through some of the different passages in here, let's look at let's go to Genesis 13. Let's go to Genesis 13. We're going to look right now at the land. The land is the principal issue that's causing war in the Middle East. Okay? And I want to share with you guys, with you brothers and sisters, excuse, I didn't mean to use brother, guys, I'm sorry about that. Brothers and sisters, that I'm going to show you in a minute what land belongs to Israel. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to tell you what land belongs to it because it's biblical. There's 38 passages in the Word of God. I'm not going through all 38. Okay? I'm going to give you like maybe four. Okay? To think about. Alright, now we're in 13. Let's go to verse 14. We're looking at the God's promise to Abraham again. And the Lord said unto Abram, he's still Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now let's stop there. Here's Abraham. He's standing in the land of Canaan. Okay, he's looking north, south, east, and west. Everywhere that you can see, as far as you can see, all of that land, God, that's God talking here. He's going to give it to him. But did you notice what else he said, though? Look at verse 15. He says at the very end, and to thy seed. Okay? Now, you could say, well, is that singular? You're talking about Jesus Christ? Yes, because Jesus obviously is going to be ruler over all the earth. He's talking about his descendants here in this, okay? So, verse 16. Now look what else he's promising him. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. We know it's impossible to number the dust of the earth, so that just means innumerable number. So here in 17 he says, arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. So we're looking at, he's going to bless Abraham and his descendants. He's going to bless him with land. And we know that the promised seed is also going to come through Abraham. Okay? And Abraham came after Noah and them got off the boat. That's how where Terah came from, and then Abraham came from Terah, and the blood was not polluted. Okay? So, let's go to Genesis 15. Now, what I like about this as we go to Genesis 15, look at verse 6. Well, no, let's start in verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heart, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. Okay, so Abraham's going to have an heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Do you know how important that verse is to each one of us that's a Christian? We have placed our faith in the gospel, which was given to us through the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit worked on us, and we trusted that the shed blood of Christ paid the penalty for our sins, and that by believing and trusting in Christ, we can have eternal life. It's by faith. It's the same thing. We get righteousness imputed to our spiritual bank account, if you will, and that's how we become a Christian. Okay, now let's go to... In verses 9 through, 16, you're going to see where they're talking about several different things about how the animals are cut. This is how the Abrahamic covenant is going to be ratified, okay? So let's see how it's ratified. It's a unilateral covenant. It's all based on what God's going to do. Abraham did what God wanted him to do. He came out of the land, right? He did what God wanted him to do. He went where he wanted him to do. He circumcises, you know, the kids that are in his tribe and all that stuff afterwards. He did what he's supposed to do. It's now God's turn to do what he says he's going to do. And look what God does here. He's going to ratify this unilateral, unconditional covenant. Verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, the smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed I have given this land. The land. Okay. And verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham unto thy seed again. Now look where the land is. Here's the land. It's right here. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now if you turn, keep your finger here. Okay, go over to Joshua. Keep your finger there. The book of Joshua. Show you this, chapter 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Keep Genesis 15 in your hand. Joshua, chapter 1. Is everybody there? My time's going, so I'm going to have to start moving very quickly here. Joshua 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou, and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Now go back to 15. So he says, I have given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Here are the borders of the biblical promises of the land. If you want to write these down, or I can give them to you later. Here they are. You want to know these. Because if you talk to a Muslim or somebody that's claiming the religion of Islam, they're going to say, no, it was given to Ishmael. Okay? They're going to say that. Here it is. Here's the promises. Half of Egypt. All of Israel. All of Lebanon. All of Syria. All of Jordan. Three quarters of Iraq. All of Kuwait, three quarters of Saudi Arabia. God has promised in the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants that He will give to Israel the land that they have today and it'll be multiplied 10 times. That is the borders of the land, brothers and sisters. That's what this is about. And that's one of the things that is driving the Middle East into such a thing, because there is no such place as Palestine, okay? The term Palestine, that's an insult to the Jewish people, the term Palestine. There was one emperor, I can't remember his name, because he wanted to insult them, he changed Israel to Palestine. He started calling it Palestine. So, we've looked at this. Now, go to Genesis, let's see. Go to Genesis 17. Oh, we're there. Okay. Or in my Bible, I'm there. Let's look at verse 18 here in Genesis 17. Now, we have Abraham and Sarah. Later, you're going to have Rebekah and Isaac. We're getting to the crux of this, okay? There's a son, an heir that's been promised to Abraham, okay? Sarah cannot have a child at this time. So, God has promised, but they are not trusting and relying upon God, okay? So what do Sarah and Abraham do? They decide that they're going to do it their way and not God's way, okay? Keep your hand where we're at there for a minute. Shoot over to Galatians 4. Okay, now, keep your hand there. You know, my Bible is getting so old and the pages are... I have to be so careful with my pages, otherwise I'll just start ripping them. I mean, anybody who's had a Bible for a while, you know, they just start, it wears out, and you're like, all my notes are in there, you know? I got to open up a new Bible, and I got to recopy my notes. And then you look at some of those notes, and you say, I don't know if I want to put that in my new Bible. You know, because it may have when you were first a Christian, you know, and you may have some different thoughts on some things. So you got to be kind of careful what you put in your new Bible. All right, let's see. All right, I want to start in verse, 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman, okay? Hagar, who was the handmaid of Sarah, okay, was from Egypt. Okay, she is the bondwoman. That's what that means. She was a slave. Okay, Sarah is the free woman. Okay, so that's who we're talking about here. Okay, so two sons, one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. Verse 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. What does that mean? You are talking about Ishmael here. Okay, Ishmael was a son that came from Abraham and the extramarital, not affair, it was allowed, Sarah allowed it to happen, but the relation with Hagar. And so when it says, born after the flesh, here's what that means. They were doing it their way, they were not doing it God's way, so they came up with this thing, how to give Abraham an heir, from their own fleshly mind. That's what they're talking about there, okay? But then the second part of the verse says, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are for an allegory, for those are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which is gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, in answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. After Ishmael was sent away. See, God promised to bless Ishmael too. Okay, and he gave them, Ishmael, 12 sons. And they became princes, meaning heads of tribes. That's what they're talking about. And they were tribal leaders, okay? That is where Ishmael and their clans were. They were not living in nations. They were living in tribes in the desert. That's where they're from. And that's where the Islamic religion came from. Okay, they were Bedouins. Now, verse 27. Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Isaac, not Ishmael. The Bible's tough. Now, here's what the issue is when you're talking to a Muslim. They are going to say that the Bible is corrupted, okay? That the Quran is the true word of God, and the Bible, the Quran is fixing up what the plot of the Jews was in order to corrupt the Word of God. But if you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives in you and you are believing that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, we're going to go with the book. Amen? I'm going to believe what the Bible says, not the Quran. And we need to be witnesses to these people. You want to gently talk to them. And if they don't want to listen to what you have, all you can do is present the truth. And it's up to them to believe or not believe. You can't make anybody believe. What's the old adage? They say, a man who is convinced against his will is of the same mind still. Right? Did you ever do something because somebody said, well, if you do this, you'll be fired, but you still, or whatever, but you know, you still are the same mind. Yeah, but you get the concept. All right, so 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Well, let's see. After the flesh is Ishmael. And after the Spirit is who? Isaac. Okay, now Isaac is going to beget Jacob. Okay? Esau was the firstborn. So I'm running out of time, so I got to start going fast. It's amazing when you come in here, you're like, my gosh, I don't know if I have enough stuff to preach on. I come in here, I haven't gotten to a third of what I've got. It's just that's the way preaching goes. You can ask Rick; he'll tell you. It's a true statement. You never get through your stuff. So here we have. Okay, let's go to 30. It says, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Okay, then go back to Genesis 17. Now look what it says in verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son. Remember, they were trying to do it their way because the child didn't come, and they wound up with this other boy. And the other boy mocked Isaac when Isaac was a baby. This is where it all starts, right now. This is how it starts. Isaac is a young teenager, 13, 14 years old, somewhere in the, not Isaac, I meant Ishmael. He is mocking. Sarah gets upset. She tells Abraham, get him out of here. She runs to the well in the desert, and they're sitting there, you know, because they're dying of thirst, and she's crying, what are we going to do? And God comes, an angel of the Lord. By the way, who's the angel of the Lord there? That's the Lord Jesus Christ with a pre-incarnate, what's the word? He's there. I can't think of the word. Anyhow, I had to keep going. So look at 19. And God said to Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now here it is. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed for him. And then verse 20. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, because Abraham was beseeching and imploring God, what about my son Ishmael? He says, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly too. 12 princes he shall beget, and I will make him a great nation. Okay, so you can see, and then, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac. And then, fast forwarding here, then Isaac has Jacob. Esau, he sells his birthright for a bowl of stew. And Esau wants to kill Jacob. Jacob takes off, and he has to go hide from Esau so he doesn't get killed. And so here we are, and then he comes back to the land down the road, and then Esau and him, they make up, so to speak, and it works out that way. So we have a land, a ruler, and a people. That's what the Abrahamic covenant is talking about here. It was given to Abraham, then it was restated with Isaac, and then it was restated with Jacob. Okay, the Jews deny this. When Abraham went onto the mountain, Mount Moriah, to sacrifice Isaac and stopped him. God stopped him. Remember, the lamb was in the thicket. The Muslims will say that that was Ishmael, not Isaac. And this is where this is all boiling down to, brothers and sisters, is the feud, and it's going back to who is Abraham. See, there's one a patriarch, and both lines come from the one patriarch. And The problem is, one is according to the flesh, the other one is according to God's promise, and by the spirit of what the Lord intended. The people from the Middle East refused to accept it. Now, Islam's ultimate goal is to bring all people into submission. You can either do it voluntarily or by the sword. Okay, so why did we get attacked on 9/11? I know I'm talking fast because I'm running. I only got so much time here. I could have done this over a period of 4 months. The United States historically has been there for Israel. We have, since the Ottoman Empire was defeated in World War I, and Israel when started going back into the land. See, Israel has gone back. It's called Aliyah. Okay, they are going back into the land, but they're apostate. Okay, Israel, it says in Jeremiah 31, it's going to say all Israel shall be saved, and God's going to put their law into their hearts, and all that's called the new covenant. Okay, by the way, we are not the people that the new covenant is given to. Everybody needs to know that. It's given to the house of Judah and the house of Israel. But we get spiritual blessings out of that. But the land promise and all that stuff does not go to Christians. Okay? Everybody confuses all this stuff. We're looking for the kingdom. Let me tell you something. We're not looking for the kingdom. We're waiting till the Lord catches us up in the air, and then we're going to be going to the judgment seat of Christ, and then we're going to wind up going to the wedding, feast of the Lamb. I mean, all that's going to be happening while the tribulation is happening on earth. And I don't know if we're going to be able to see what's happening on earth, but boy, it's going to be a terrible time. So let's talk a couple quick things quickly about Islam. Go ahead. Is that... Yeah, the second half of the tribulation is Jacob's trouble. Okay, that's called the Great Tribulation if you look in Matthew 24. The first half, what happens? How does the tribulation start? What's the exact event that starts the tribulation to start? Yes, ma'am. Yes, the signing of the peace treaty by who? Antichrist. Yeah, that's just who you want to hang out with, is Antichrist. Not good. So, Muhammad, okay, is a long down the road. Muhammad doesn't even come on the scene until 570 A.D. 570 A.D. We've already got the canon of the Bible in place and stuff. And here Muhammad comes on, and he's getting these little visions, so-called, and he's saying that he is a prophet, and Jesus was a prophet, okay? There's a couple problems with that, because he thinks that he's the greater prophet and Jesus isn't. And the I got so much to tell you. He says that the Bible is corrupted and he received the final revelation. And it takes precedence over the Bible. In 695 AD, that's when the Dome of the Rock is put up. See, the Crusades were a horrible time. That's when the Pope and the boys decided they're going to go after Islam and they're going to crush them. The problem is they did not crush them. Actually, they lost. They lost. And that's why in World War I, when they went in there, that's when Islam, they didn't get crushed, but they got set back, if you could use that terminology. They were put on hold for a while. And then, one day, an Arab was standing in the desert, and he poked his pole down. And we're not talking about Jed Clampett here. There was a whole bunch of oil coming out. And that changed everything. Because the oil is what's bringing the Arabs back into power, because the whole world is relying upon the Middle East to supply oil. So, they want to bring the whole world into submission, which would equate to the world at war. Okay? Islam is a religion of terror and hatred. Now, by the way, did you ever see the flag of Islam? It's got that like hatchet type thing, and then it's got the half crescent on there with a star. Do you know what that is? That has to do with the moon god. And all of this was way before Muhammad. This was in the time of Ishmael, before he died. Okay? That is the... They worshipped the moon god. All of these... See, they all went into the desert, and they're tribal, they're nomadic. They lived in desert in tents. That's where Islam has come from, is the deserts. So their symbol is represents the moon god with the crescent moon. Now, quickly, here's some of the things that Islam believes, and I'm going to compare a couple of things. We are told, what about Jehovah? God does not change, we're told in Malachi 3:6. But Allah of Islam, by the way, Allah is not the God of the Bible. Allah's not the God of the Bible. And I don't have time to develop that. I'm just asking you to believe what I'm telling you. Is God deceptive? Okay? In Titus 1:2, we're told, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. But then Allah deceives. They plot and plan, and Allah too plans. But the best of planners and deceivers is Allah. I'm giving you stuff out of the surahs, okay, real quickly. That's the Quran. We say God is triune. They say the Trinity is blasphemy. They believe Jesus was created, brothers and sisters. But Jesus is not created. How do we know that? I want to read to you how you know. Go to John chapter 1 real quick. John chapter 1. Let's see if Jesus was created. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. That settles it for me. You know, if you also go to Colossians, it talks about, you know, Jesus Christ, everything consists and is held together by the Lord of Jesus Christ, by His Word. It's, if Jesus was created, well then, how could He be the Creator? Because Jesus is the Creator. Is Jesus Lord, or is He just an apostle? While you're right there where you're at, run over to Philippians chapter 2 very quickly. Because some of these verses are worth your time knowing. I got a couple more minutes and we'll be done. I'm just trying to shoot a couple of highlights. Like I said, I didn't have much time here. Now, is Jesus Lord, or is He an apostle? Islam says, O people of the book, commit no excess of your religion, nor say of Allah aught but truth. Christ Issa, they're talking about Jesus, the son of Mary, was an apostle of Allah. Muhammad thinks that he was a better apostle than Allah. The only problem with Muhammad is Jesus got lifted up and went up to heaven after he resurrected from the dead. Muhammad, brothers and sisters, died and he was buried just like any other ordinary man. I see a difference. I mean, I see a difference. So, look at Philippians 2. And let's look at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's given Him a name which is above every name. Now let's stop there. If you look at Acts 4:11, there is no other name by which we may be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're talking about. So it's not just one verse we're picking out. It's consistently taught in the Bible that Jesus is Lord. So, okay, a name that is above every name. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of Father. So He's not just an apostle. Jesus is Lord. It says so in the Bible. I'm not making this up. It's right there. What else do they believe? Jesus was just a man. Okay? While you're there, just a couple more verses and I'll be done. Go back to John and go to John chapter 8. This verse, when I was a new Christian, floored me. Now, this takes me back to the time of when Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, in John chapter 8, Jesus is being confronted by Pharisees, okay? And They are, they're testing him. They want to prove him a liar so that they can stone him and kill him. And I'm paraphrasing all that just to get real quickly to my point. So, let's see. Look at verse 56. Here, let's go up a little bit. Because I want you to get the gist of this. Okay. Verse 43, and after I read this, we'll be close to done. Why do you not understand my speech? He's talking to the Pharisees. Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now, if someone calls you that you're of the devil, you're going to get upset with them. I mean, I would. Okay? He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. It's talking about Satan. There's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father. Look at that. Jesus is a liar and he's the father of a liar. And he's a murderer from the beginning. And Jesus says in 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convict me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Here's the reason. He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not. Why? Because you are not of God. And then answered the Jews and said unto them, say we not well that we are not Samaritans? And Jesus said, I have not a devil. I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I don't seek my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. It's talking about spiritual death. Then the Jews say unto him, now that we know you are a devil, Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? 54. Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. We're almost there. Yet he have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you, but I know him, and I keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews, they're really upset now, said unto him, you are not 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That was said on the mountain when he was getting the Ten Commandments. I am. He's saying he's before Abraham. Well, if you're before Abraham, hello. You know, so we have an advocate with the Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go in all the verses. Muhammad is not our advocate. They say he is. Jesus forbade us to use the sword. Muhammad urges the use of the sword. Jesus taught forgiveness. Muhammad teaches revenge. Jesus was sinless. Muhammad was sinful. Man is born with original sin, meaning that, you know, because Adam sinned, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can go to the Father except by him. And then they say Jesus was a man and he was a worshiper of Allah. Is salvation open to everyone? Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. They say salvation is only in Allah's hands, and Allah is not the God of the Bible. Grace alone saves, the Bible tells us. They say good works cancel out bad deeds. Now, that's amazing. That almost sounds Catholic, don't it? You know, is there assurance in salvation? There is eternal security. But jihad is the only security. See, they believe that if you die in holy war, that you are doing Allah's will, and that you now are going to become a martyr, and because you're a martyr, you're going to get to go to paradise. And whatever paradise is going to consist of, with all the hundreds of, whatever. And God forces no one to salvation, but Allah forces worship. So why did 9/11 happen? 9/11 is happening Not just because there's a war between God and Satan. There was a war in the Middle East that has now spilled over in the shores. It is all going all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Jacob, and Esau. Now, I know I've done all this very fast because I didn't have that much time. I hope that this at least has brought a little bit of understanding, a little bit of this to you. And I appreciate your time. And Brother Perry, could you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for enlightening us with the word and emboldening us to go out and to speak it boldly without fear or trepidation. We thank you for the saints that we're all here, and we praise you and thank you in Christ Jesus' name. And as we leave, let us go safely to our homes and return again. Christ Jesus.
Amen. Okay.